Blog Talk Radio.
See Muhammad give you knowledge that you can't say pop it. He my father already here, let alone coming. Let every ear hear. He be blowing like a trumpet. I use my music like a gun and I'ma dump it. Hey bro, I do this for my God and all he come with. Yes sir, you best believe it. Make no assumptions. You trick or treat on Halloween, it ain't about pumpkins. You feed your mind the wrong thing and it be nonsense. He call you dead cause you kill your own conscience. The innocent and right and wrong in one's conduct. Rebel against Allah, who knows where you wind up. And for you devils, my God says your time's up. That pool from my father, that heavenly water. Brother, stop been ignoring and started to smart. He took murderers and made a man and true father. Just imagine what he can do. What if you rob? He can show you how to eat, to live if you bother. Show you how to see, bring it fear with no problem. So many deviating be laying under the needle. The son of man, he's the son of the sequel. A result, a consequence, of interference, and he won't stop until we equal in him.
All of my people, all of my people, wanna be equal, wanna be equal.
Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. We further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, warner, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst. And it's my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. And it is also my honor to present to you our dear beloved host, our brother, our minister, our friend, a brother who has so dedicated his life's work to helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spread the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is my pleasure to present to you once again Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Sister Queen Aziza. And again, you know, I must say that I will never get used to these introductions and these accolades that you lay on me. However, all praise is due to Allah. I want to say to our esteemed panelists as well as the listening and participating audience that in the introduction, what you were listening to was our young brother, Ronnie X, a newly registered member of the Nation of Islam and of the Tampa Study Group here in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
That's his single entitled Coming to Get You. I promised him that I would play it, I would air it. And not only that, I love hip-hop, and he is very, very talented. We are blessed tonight, and I want to say, preface all of our statements in the name of Allah, with the help of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We're always very grateful and thankful to him for his making himself known in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and raising up his Messiah, the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer, he is warner, he is reminder. And I refer to him as my personal redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Tonight, as I greet all of you again with the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum, tonight we are very, very, very blessed to have as our guest tonight our dear brother and student international minister of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. He really, really needs no introduction, but I'd like to present him to you. This is our brother, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad. I want to just read some of his bio, just to acquaint you, if those in the listening audience may not know him. And I'll just start from this point. Since 1982, he has worked as the international representative for the Nation of Islam and is regarded as one of the most knowledgeable individuals on the life and works of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the history of the Nation of Islam, and Malcolm X, and issues affecting the African continent. Minister Akbar has traveled to 128 countries, including 38 African nations, and has lived in Ghana, West Africa. Minister Akbar is known throughout the world by many African presidents, heads of state, and Muslim leaders. Minister Akbar has been instrumental in organizing humanitarian efforts in various parts of the globe, which included galvanizing African-American physicians to work in remote clinics and hospitals in parts of Africa and leading press delegations to hotspots around the world. Man, there's just so much, you know, Brother Minister. I don't want to leave any of this out. It is definitely worthy of note. I know we're facing a time constraint, but let me just say this. He organized an all-African-American press delegation to the Sudan on a fact-finding mission, and through his efforts, DET and TV1 had exclusive one-on-one interviews with His Excellency President Omar al-Bashir. Akbar dedicates his time to speak and encourage others to travel, work, and do business in Africa. Over the years, he has accompanied and arranged to travel to Africa for thousands of experienced and first-time travelers, including notable celebrities, major sports figures, and influential leaders. I just want to add very quickly to that bio, Brother Minister, that Minister Akbar was the minister of the mosque in which and under which I got registered in the Nation of Islam some 41 years ago in Queens, New York. So I am very, very thankful to Allah for that. I'm also blessed to be able to talk with him from time to time and get mentorship and guidance from our beloved brother. And so since time is limited, Brother Minister, you have the floor. Did you want to make some opening statements, sir?
Yes, first of all, thank you very much. And it's always proper for a Muslim to invoke the name of Allah in any pursuit or anything that he does or any event in his life. So I'd like to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I'm thankful to Allah that he's blessed me to be in Jacksonville, Florida. We had a great meeting today at the Juma prayer, and I attended the Association for the Study of African American History, or African History. They're having their convention here, and I enjoyed myself looking at their books and meeting some of the people who were present. But I want to thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whose work at his age, you know, we don't have to keep saying it, but I just must say it because it's remarkable at 80 years old, the energy that Allah has blessed him with. We were in New York last week at the opening of the UN to meet with the president from Iran, the new president, Rouhani. And Minister Farrakhan attended a dinner. And as I told him the other day when I was talking to him, I said that I explained to the believers in Atlanta, where I spoke this past Sunday, that when he walked in the room to see the Muslim leaders from all over and many outside of America, but they had this year they had just religious leaders from the Muslim communities. And the way they welcomed and received the minister, one of them kissing minister's hand and telling the minister that you're not only an inspiration to your community and the people in America, but you inspire us all. You're a source of inspiration for each one of us. And it was just to hear those words and watch the expressions in their face made me feel so good that he didn't go in there and have to battle about Al-Aqida and what the Nation of Islam believes or practice. He was received as a brother and a friend. And these are the bridges that we have to build with the Muslim community when the Muslim world is under attack. I believe that there's a way to bring Muslims together and not let them spend time arguing about how they differ when we are under tremendous pressure. The incident in Kenya recently has been the talk across Africa, and even this week when President John Dramani Mahama, the new president of Ghana, was here, and I was blessed to have a meeting with him. The discussion was Kenya and the Muslims and that shopping center and what the Muslims, so-called Muslims, I should say, did and how people view it. Even though all of the facts of what happened there is not out, and the Kenyan government, for some reason, is holding it close to its chest. But Muslims carry the weight of that. Muslims all over the world. So I thank Allah to be on your show. I look forward to next weekend when I leave Fort Pierce, Florida. I plan to be in Tampa with the brothers and sisters. So I look forward to it, and at that time being even back on your show. But I just wanted to make that opening statement, and I mean there's so much that we can talk about. The minister's unbelievable address on the time and what must be done, his talk on Syria, and Barack Obama went all over. We gave out copies of the minister's speech and a booklet that we printed, and we gave it to the embassies for their presidents and prime ministers who were in town, so that they could read the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his tremendous insight into the kind of challenges that the world has, and especially the Muslim nations. So I just wanted to make that open statement, and I know that our time, about 30 minutes, so I want to open it up, and maybe there will be questions. And I want to say, as I mentioned to Brother Brian, who assists me, he's from Columbia, South Carolina, I said to Brother Brian, we have so many excellent talk shows on the radio coming from the Muslim community that we need to all get together. As you know, our Savior's Day will be in Detroit this year,
yeah,
inshallah. And in Detroit, I'm going to recommend to those planners for the workshop and the program that there should be a short workshop so that all of the brothers and sisters who have shows, whether they're broadcast shows or blog talk shows, we should get together so that we can be on point and use this radio. The minister said to me this week, he said to me that these brothers that have the power of the microphone and have a microphone and access to the minds of people should use it to teach people, so that they do petty things like talking about people, attacking people, and so forth, and attacking people in the black community that they disagree with. And it's not a critical analysis of their position, but it turns into a personal attack, some of it rooted in jealousy and envy, and some of them just want to attack a person with stature that's much bigger than theirs. God makes the way, and that's what you have to realize. The person didn't promote themselves and become known because they knew how to promote themselves. It's the door that God opened up. And sometimes you have to look, this is God's will. And if you say that you're a Muslim and you believe in Allah and He permits a thing, then you have to accept what Allah permits. This happened to me in certain corners across the country during the Million Man March, when nearly 2 million black people turned up on that mall, and it was headed by Minister Louis Farrakhan. Most of them were not Muslims. And those that became envious and jealous of that position and attacked the march and the minister, then you have to say, well, where's my belief in the Creator? The Creator allowed this. The Creator permitted this. And I have to see what is the desire of God, and I have to accept that. So I just wanted to say that all of the brothers and sisters who have these shows across America, we should meet to discuss our direction of the shows, the things that we need to do to cooperate with one another on shows and guests, and bring those who have the experience of blog talk radio and network radio, that you have to bring the experience together and have a direction, have a program. And many people who have radio programs, they don't have a direction. They don't have a position that they hold on. We have to take a page from the right-wing talk shows. They seem to be a consistent line through all of them. If you drive through Kentucky and Tennessee and turn them on, and they're on the same page, they're on point with the same message. They may say it different, they may give it a different angle, but when you boil it down, it is the same message. And I think we need to take a page from that and do the same thing.
Well, certainly we agree, Brother Minister. And speaking for myself as a, I would say, neophyte in this arena, in this avenue, I would look forward to that kind of gathering in Detroit. I'm sure it would be edifying to me, educational, and it really is necessary. And in the manner that you put it, it's definitely necessary that we use these airways to get the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan across, but also to make them as relevant as possible
of
the time and to the time and what must be done. Brother Minister, this forum is largely a forum of participation with our listening and online audience. And I'll just say as a talking point to initiate or inspire any questions or comments that the audience might have, you know, we have you as an international representative, and certainly I'm sure you could speak on those domestic issues that are headlining the news every day, particularly this government shutdown and, of course, other issues. But we'd like to give the audience an opportunity to get an international perspective of what is happening as it relates to black people and people of color and, of course, those domestic issues and how they impact on the international scene. And so, Brother Minister, if you don't mind, early in the show, I'm going to open up the floor or the microphones to our listening audience that they might question you. You know, recently we had the minister met with the newly elected president of Iran, and of course Iran has been in the news regularly of late, and sure, eyebrows were raised in certain quarters regarding this meeting that the minister had, as well as other Muslim leaders. So if you don't mind, Brother Minister, I just want to open up the floor, give the people the opportunity to talk with you.
Yes.
This time is so short.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I don't know if Brother Kareem can see the same screen that I see, but I just want to remind the listening audience that if you have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad so that we can address your question. I do have some questions from Yahoo and Google Chat, and I can't see the Blog Talk chat room, so I apologize for that. But we're going to start with a question from Lynn, and I just want to explain to you, Brother Student Minister Akbar, that we have a large Christian audience as well as a Nation of Islam and Islamic audience, and so we have a lot of people who will ask questions about the minister's work and his intention. And so Lynn is one who has been with us for a very long time. She's a faithful listener, and she asked direct questions, but I've learned over the time that she's really sincere and she really just wants an answer. So she says, why is the minister so concerned with foreign policy? No other country has stood up to help blacks in America. And is that a political move?
Thank you very much for your question. And sister, you know, there's a longer answer, and maybe when I'm on the show again, we will revisit that. But we've been kept out of foreign policy. And it's almost like saying to nearly 45 million black Americans that foreign policy is not your arena. You have nothing to do with it. You know, we that run America, mainly Caucasians, that this is our arena. So you stay in your place. We'll let you become a mayor of a city. You can become one of the 43 members in the Congress. But foreign policy, that arena belongs to us. And it's almost like saying we have no right in foreign policy. And the way that we should answer that with one voice, what do you mean? Slavery was a foreign policy. That was the foreign policy of the United States of America. They made slave ships in Newport, Rhode Island. That was in the North. They organized it. They set up laws for the ships sailing at sea and so forth. They made those that designed the slave ships, just like you would design a building to carry human bodies. It was a foreign policy of the United States. It was legal. It had laws that governed it. So we should be concerned with foreign policy because we ended up in America in chains because of foreign policy. So it's an area. There's nearly 950 million people on the African continent, almost 1 billion people. We came from Africa. You mean we shouldn't be concerned or involved in it? And then above that, we are Muslims. The world of Muslim has 1.4 to 1.6 billion people, and we belong to the world of Islam. And right now, the world of Islam is under tremendous attack. There's all kind of pictures and how people see Muslims, and it's the foreign policy of the United States to reduce the Muslim countries in the world to failed states so they can rob them of their resources, and the main resource that they want to rob them of while they're fighting for political balance is their oil. So no, we should be concerned and involved in foreign policy. And the picture of America on foreign shores right now is very bad. They're looking at this so-called leading country in the world, the strongest country, the so-called greatest country in the world. But because of the political dynamics within the country and the hatred of a black president who occupies the most powerful political position in the world, the government cannot function. The hatred is so deep. The hatred that the rulers of this country have for black people in general, which has been proven over 358 years of our mistreatment, the hatred runs so deep that they would cause the country to fail to function in order to reject what a black man has come up, and what he came up with is legitimate. I may disagree on Barack on a lot of things in foreign policy as he relates to the Muslim world and to Africa, but I must agree with him that this country is too big, too powerful, too rich not to have medical care for the masses of its people.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. And we also have a question from Brandon. Brandon says, will the government shutdown inspire more blacks to do for self, in your opinion?
Well, I think it will. And it doesn't just take the government shutdown, because the shutdown is limited. When you really see the effects of the shutdown, is when the country itself is brought to a halt, when the traffic control people are not working, when the National Guards are at rest, and each state needs the National Guard for emergency, whether it's weather-related, whether it's fire, whether it is the a riot or looting in the street, whether there's some kind of disorder, whether there's a jailbreak, all of those things. So when the country reaches the point that there is no budget and they run out of money, the question that the American people need to ask and needs a clear, understandable answer is when they say the government borrow money, who does the government borrow money from? Do they borrow money from China or the European Union, or do they borrow money from the rich bankers of America and the Lehman Brothers and J.P. Morgan? Who does America borrow money from? All they say that government is paralyzed because they have not made a decision for them to borrow money so that they can have the money to run the government. But the question I ask, who do they borrow money from? So, no, it does affect us. It affects every one of us. You'll see it when they can't mail out the Social Security checks. Right now, there's essential services that they say must go on. And people ask the question, well, why is Congress and the Senate being paid during this shortfall in the budget, and the American government is half-functioning? Why do they get paid? Because they wrote it into a law, if anything happens, that their salaries will go on. One of the congresspersons said, because we got to run the country. Well, you're doing such a poor job, maybe we should cut your salary off and reassess what you're doing, either get someone else or make you do a better job. So anyway, that's I'm trying to make these answers short. Trust me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Minister.
And let me remind the listening audience, because sometimes they have a tendency to be a little shy, but those of you who are calling by phone, I want to remind you that Student Minister Akbar is only going to be with us a short time. So if you have questions, you need to ask them now while he is available. We have another question, comment from Shamina. I pray I'm saying your name correctly. It says, what can we do about better education for our children if we choose to separate from white society? What will be taught different than what is being taught in public school? Or do you want to separate just so the children can be educated in a non-biased environment?
Well, it's a very good question. We do not want separation just so that the children can be educated, so that we can prove ourselves as men and women, that we are mature and we're knowledgeable enough to run our own affairs, being that America has done such a poor job in running the affairs of black people in America since we put our souls on this shore as and made into slaves. They've done a very miserable job in dealing with us as a people. They robbed our language, our culture, our background. Most of us look at the African continent, we have no idea where we came from. And then when they segregated us and we begin to see the necessity to run our own schools and to run our own businesses, to turn to each other, and they brought integration in and completely lost us in the midst of that and then still controlled our education. When we got chartered schools that catered to the needs of our community, to the black community, then the chartered schools ran into trouble. They were closed down, accused of mishandling funds and not keeping up the standards. So all of this to put us into the mix of their society that really, my sister, does not educate us well. They don't give us a knowledge of self. They don't teach us about our background and where we came from. They don't encourage us to have strong self-esteem and believe in ourselves. So we do need to separate ourselves or put our children in an environment that the education speaks directly to the needs of black people after being crippled by white America. You know, when you look at us, we have their names. We try to be like them. You know, we don't create anything that's uniquely ours that speak to our culture, but we merge into their culture, and we're gobbled up in their culture, but it doesn't really represent us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad preached to us about separation was the solution to the problem of the black man and woman in America. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. And I have one more question from Yahoo Chat. Brother David says, can you share with us the best advice that the minister has ever given to you?
The best advice that the minister has given to me is, number one, honesty, sincerity, and he talked to me about loyalty. Faith produces the deeds that you have. In other words, if your faith is strong, it determines direction that you go in your belief system. And those are the things that Minister Farrakhan has given me. You know, I hear Brother Fontaine used to always say, a beautiful man. And people who haven't been around the minister don't understand that term. You know, I've been around him. This is 48 years now that I've been with Minister Farrakhan. And I know, when Brother said that, I know what it means. I understand what it means because he's a beautiful man. He always looks for the good in a person. Person may be really at the other end of Minister Farrakhan, even his enemy, but he always looks for the good first and tries to bring that good out. He smiles. He relaxes you. He's always trying to teach from the lessons that he has learned. From him, I learned that you're going to make mistakes, but if you're going to make a mistake, let it be a new mistake, not one that we've already made. And these are the lessons that I've learned from. Thank you very much for that question.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother James, that's all the questions we have at this time. And of course, I want to give Brother Kareem, who Team Tide Rescue an opportunity if he had a question. Brother Kareem?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Queen Aziz, and I'm not going to take up enough time. The only question I would have is this, is that during these difficult times and everything that is going on, the quote-unquote government shutdown, the murder of our young sister the other day in Washington, D.C., with all the things that are going on around us, whether we be Muslim, Christian, or whatever, Minister Agbar, what is it that we can do when we start to feel despondent or, like, is it all worth it? What should we do when those kind of thoughts come to us?
You should use what God has blessed you with, of the knowledge of yourself that has pulled you away from some of the vices. And when I say vice, you know, a vice is V-I-C-E and V-I-S-E. They're the same words. And one of them is something that holds something in place while something, you can work on it. You can fix it. You can drill holes in it. And the vice that you get involved in the street is the same thing. So we have a certain knowledge base that came to us from the Master Farad Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and his servant. And I have to add two brothers that didn't have the position that these three have, and that's Malcolm X and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son. And what they did is they awakened our people to the knowledge of themselves. So when you feel despondent and everything looks bad, go out and teach another black man or teach another black woman, and you'll find that it changes because you don't realize how much you know. Look at the people who are wrestling with cigarettes, even though everything in the scientific community is telling them that cigarette is detrimental. It kills you. It produces cancer. And look at the people wrestling with it, want to get away from it, and look at the power you've been given to master something like that. Look at the people who are victims of drugs and alcohol. Look at the people who have dysfunctional families and their children are out of control. And you've been taught some wisdom that helps you to control those things, not to be mastered by things that are detrimental to you. So when you feel despondent because of the condition of the world, go out and teach another black man. Bring him to a mosque. I don't care how small or large the mosque is. I don't care what the ability of the administrators is. But in that mosque, they can find a truth, a teaching. And I'm saying it to the Christians who are on the line, that something that can change the course of their life and give more meaning to themselves. And then whatever you learn, don't hold it to yourself as I got it, you know, and I'm all right. But the way you keep it and it benefits you the most is you go out and share it with someone else.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Okay. And I have one more question from Sister Carey. I hope I'm saying it right. She said that we are taught not to use the word hypocrite, but at this critical hour, what do you call people who are bold about being against the minister and what he teaches?
Okay. Well, the say that the teaching not to use the word hypocrite, I don't think it means that because there's a chapter in the Holy Quran called the hypocrite. So, and the hypocrites existed among those that came to Prophet Muhammad. There was a Jewish tribe in Medina that pledged to Prophet Muhammad that they would help him and they would stand with him. They didn't say they would give up their religion. They're still Jews, or as the Arabs call them, Yahudi. But they said that they would be with him in his battle against the Quraysh, who wanted to crush them. When the battle's time came, they deserted. That was their hypocrisy. So the just using the word and throwing it around every time you disagree with somebody, calling them a hypocrite, I think that that's what we're talking about. But people who are opposers to this word, people, a hypocrite is a person who says out of his mouth what is not in their heart. They are like the Indians call the white man. They call him fork tongue because he spoke out of both sides of his mouth. He would promise, but he would fail. He would promise, yeah. but he would deceive. So if the person shows you that they are a hypocrite by their deeds, then you have to call them what they are. But some people, every time they get in a disagreement, every time somebody takes another position, they say, oh, he must be a hypocrite. No, you have to have a formidable argument. I don't throw that word around because that's a bad way to, put on somebody. That's a bad thing to do because you don't know the heart. You're not Allah.
Right.
So don't call a person because of some disagreement. He's a hypocrite or she's a hypocrite. No, be very careful how you use the word, but hypocrites definitely exist.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother James, well, I'll give you the last few minutes to talk to Brother Akbar before he leaves us for the evening.
Thank
Queen
you.
Queen Aziza, I want to thank you very much. And keep up your show. Keep it alive.
Oh.
Invite good guests on it. Have good, strong questions. And let the show be a learning platform for you and also a teaching platform. So that you can use this Blog Talk Radio to teach the thousands of people that listen to you, not only in America, but throughout the world.
Yes, sir, and thank you. I'm so honored for that advice and support of you, Brother Menzel. I'm almost speechless. Thank you so much. Thank
all
you.
All praises to
and
Allah.
And yes, sir, I will take your advice. I'll cherish it always. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
And I too, want to echo those words of appreciation, Brother Minister. As we approach the time of your departure, at least from this show for now, I just want to announce that you will be present and speaking at the Masjid al-Salam in Jacksonville at 1625 North Pearl Street tomorrow. It doesn't have a time on this advertisement as to when the doors are open, but for info, you can call 904-359-0980. And as we approach your departure, Brother Minister, can you give us something of a synopsis, if you will, of what you're going to be discussing in this meeting
tomorrow? And I want to say to our brothers and sisters who are across the state that are listening to this program, you personally may not be in Jacksonville, but if you have a relative or a friend in Jacksonville, please invite them out. My subject will be tomorrow, the world of Islam at war with itself and its impact on Muslims in America. And the world of Islam is at war with itself, and it does have a profound impact on our work in America as Muslims and even the immigrant Muslim community that live in America. That's going to be my talk, inshallah, tomorrow. And then next week when I finish in Fort Pierce on the Saturday night, if the invitation made to me to be in Tampa that Sunday, I would honor that invitation. I haven't gotten the details, but Dr. Vibert White said that I was invited to come to Tampa, and I need, Brother James, for you to check out the details, and if I'm able to be there with you Sunday the 13th, I would welcome to see all of you in that area who are able to come out.
Well, certainly, Brother Minister, we're on top of that, and I'll keep you apprised of the details. But there's no if, except that we say if Allah pleases, because we certainly, certainly want you there, and we're making arrangements to host you there, brother. And that subject matter that you discussed, that's going to be discussed tomorrow, if you would consider a part two of that subject matter when you come to Tampa, that would be wonderful. They're waiting on the title so we can begin to advertise it, Brother Minister. So is that something you might want to do?
You can use that title and call it part two in Tampa. The same thing, the Islamic world at war with itself, its impact on Muslims in America.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know you have to go. I thank you so much for giving us this time and also agreeing to be on next Friday for part two.
Inshallah. I'll be happy to do it.
Oh, we look forward to it, beloved. Thank you again.
Thank you. May Allah bless each and every one of you. And you pray for your brother and sister and for your community. Ask Allah to bless our ministers, to guide his words and his steps, and to strengthen him and to keep him going. I thank you very much. May Allah bless you, and thank you again for having me. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Well, that was absolutely wonderful. And
yes, it was.
To use the phrase short and sweet. However, by next Friday, we may be blessed to have him for a longer duration on the show. So those of you who are online and on the phone and are listening and participating in the show tonight, put it on your schedule. Don't pencil it in. Pen it in. So that you can attend the show next week for part two of our beloved brother minister, our international representative of the Nation of Islam, student minister Akbar Muhammad. As we move into the next hour of this show, you know, it's, traditionally we deal with the time and what must be done. The lecture series of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, every Saturday, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, or rather Central Time, and 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And the minister has asked us to share his words with the local, the national, as well as the international community, and to talk with everyone in the best manner, and even if you want to use that word, argue, we argue in the best manner. But we want to plumb the depths of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is sharing with us. And in segment 38, he talked about the sterilants that are put in the food. He expanded on the policy of America that was so clearly announced by Dr. Kissinger, a depopulation policy where the motive of the government of America, along with its allies and others, is to depopulate the world by 2 to 3 billion people, to cull, as the term the minister used, particularly black people in America and throughout the diaspora, to the amount of hundreds of millions of people. This is the policy of America, and it has not changed. So we want to talk about that. You know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, and the minister reiterates it, that if you want to get rid of a people, the best way to do it is through what they eat. And since what we eat originates from the land and black people, in previous broadcasts, the minister has made clear that black people are moving, hurtling towards a condition of landlessness. And if we don't have land in our possession, then it stands to reason that we won't be able to produce our own food. And if we're subject to and dependent upon those who have an agenda of depopulation for black people in America and throughout the world, if we're subject to their kitchen and they're feeding us, then it, of course, does not bode well at all for us. The minister talked about transgenic seeds, grafting seeds, grafting onto the original, and how the grafted product ultimately destroys the original or organic product. And he likened it also to the seeds being disagreeable to live with in peace, but also as it relates to race relations here in America and throughout the world, how grafting and the product of grafting become disagreeable to live with in peace because they will ultimately destroy the host that they are grafted into. So as we approach the second hour of our show, we want to open up the lines and talk about the minister's 38th segment of the time and what must be done, as well as previous segments. And we want to also refer to the Quran when it shares with us in the words of Allah that the Messiah would teach us what to eat and also what to store in our houses. I'm going to put this question on the minds of our listening audience. Who's doing that? Who's teaching us how to eat to live? And who's teaching us what to store in our houses? I'd like us to consider what Allah is saying to us in the Quran and bring things, of course, up to current and modern times. History, of course, is best qualified, so teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to reward our research. And history leads us to that which is current and present and prepares us for what is current and present. So let's get into this subject matter. And again, I love that the audience be involved. So let's get started. Sister Aziza, are there any now online who would like to make comments or ask questions regarding the minister's lecture series?
We have some questions that I'm going through in Google Chat, but I can't see the board anymore. So when it comes to the calls, you have to refer to Brother Kareem. Brother Kareem, can you see if anyone has a question?
Not at this time. No one has their hand up at this moment.
Okay. Well, go ahead and proceed, Brother James. I do have some questions coming out of Google.
Well, very good, very good. What we want to do is to talk about what the minister is trying to alert us of. You know, America is a nation of obesity. It reflects the lack of discipline or even the lack of care of what its citizens put in our mouths, and unfortunately, it has resulted in being poisoned, having an extremely toxic existence, the obesity of our babies, black people heading the list in all of the cancers. When we once, many years ago, were cancer-free, these are subject matters that we have to talk about. And they're not limited or relegated to any particular religion, any particular faith expression. In reality, this is going to affect us all. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his recent lecture series, and of course in others, focused on what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, said in his illuminating book, How to Eat to Live, both in Books 1 and in Books 2. And I'd like to read as a talking point to initiate our conversation from page 57 from How to Eat to Live, Book 1. The Honorable, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes, On the coming of God, according to the Bible and Holy Quran, he began to create a people that must and will enjoy a long life and good health. They will not suffer sickness or grief and sorrow. They will live lives of complete happiness. The earth is full of food. But good health cannot enter our bodies until we have the proper food in the body and the proper food for thought. If we do not have the proper food for our way of thinking, we still cannot enjoy peace, good health, joy, and gladness of heart. We can eat, he continues, the best food. We can take fasts for 9 days or for 20 or 30 days if we want to. And we will still suffer if we do not feed the brain with the right food. These two bodies, the brain and digestive tract, have much in common with one another. Whatever hurts one hurts the other. We must treat both well. The Bible teaches you that God gave the dead more life. He comes to give you more life and an abundance of life. How can he do it or do that for us unless we help ourselves to the assistance he is helping us seek? We must help ourselves in this way to prolong our lives. And on page, I think it's 107 in the message to the black man, let's go to it. That's not the page to which I'm referring. Please bear with me. Kind of lost my page there. I wanted to talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's exhorting us to getting land. To getting land. Land is the basis, so teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of any freedom, justice, and equality. And as the scripture puts these words in the mouth of Jesus, as a man thinketh, so is he. And the old adage or axiom, you are what you eat, then what we eat actually leads to how we think. And of course, how we think leads to how we act. And so, brothers and sisters, and those of you who are listening, it is extremely important now to put under analysis what the government of America is doing where our food is concerned. We have to be very serious in listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan regarding the government's agenda in these genetically modified foods. We have to be very diligent as to the seeds even that we use to plant for those of us who want to go to the land. And so we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan informing us of the mindset as well as the actions of our enemies. And so I'll stop right there and then ask you, Sister Aziza, is there anyone online who like to join us in this conversation? Sister Aziza? Sister Aziza, are you there? Can anyone hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. And she just, her line just dropped. Let me get her back.
Okay, is there anyone on the phone, Brother Kareem?
We have people on the phone. Okay, we do have a question here. Let me break this mic live. Area code 404, your mic is live.
Yes, good evening. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, this is Eugenio.
Yes, Brother Eugenio.
Hey, how are you? It's great to hear from you and Brother Kareem and Sister Aziza this evening. I want to, since we are talking about the subject of good food, I want to pull something from the minister's lecture from last week. made a statement about milk, whole wheat bread, navy bean soup, with Lenten, our lives, for 140 years. Eat only the right foods. Is there a website that the Nation of Islam has where foods? Hello?
We're here. We can hear you. I don't know whose phone that is, but I can hear
you. I'm trying to. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but I apologize. Go right ahead.
Okay. Is there a website that the Nation of Islam has or other members have that show recipes of such right food that we can prepare as well, such as the whole wheat bread and the navy bean soup?
That's a good question. You know, there have been many newsletters that have been disseminated. But I would say, dear brother, do you have the books, How to Eat to Live, both book one and book two?
No, sir, I do not. I didn't even know. I was only familiar with the book one. I didn't know there was a book two.
Well, certainly there is. And in both books, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives excellent advice basically on how to prepare the best way, not only to eat what foods to eat, but how to best prepare them. And you know, Brother Eugenio, I could research that question to see if there's anything current that I can send you to, a website or a book that the sisters may have put out in preparation of the proper foods and in the proper way. But certainly, brother, if you have How to Eat to Live, reference that book, book one, and get book two whenever you can. Those are the best guides for nourishment.
Thank you so much, Lord Master James. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you, dear brother. All praise is due to Allah. And we've been struggling with this blog talk technology of recent weeks, haven't we, Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Every time we turn around. You know, it has been a struggle.
Well,
we
have to anticipate that.
And y'all are doing an excellent job. That's why the devils want to interfere.
Yes, sir.
Well, as I said, you know, earlier on, and of course, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, we don't want to give them too much airtime, but they must do what they must do. And Allah will do what He will do. And Allah, of course, is the best of planners. And
that's
the
right.
Best of doers, I might add.
Brother James, since I have you right here, may I ask a second question?
Go right ahead, dear brother.
Okay, what is how does the Nation of Islam view seafood? Because I am from Louisiana, and I will admit I have grown up on lots of shrimp and crab and oysters and all that growing up. I must admit it's been a while since I've had some, but what have y'all learned about such foods as seafood and which ones are safe to eat?
Well, thank you for your question, dear brother. And according to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we are not to eat the shrimp and the crabs and lobsters of the sea. They are scavenger fish or venison, if you will, of the ocean. And as such, they will eat anything. And therefore, what they eat, if we eat them, we will eat. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, stay away from the shellfish. Stay away from the shrimps, the crabs, the lobsters. And he also stated that we should stay away from fish that weigh over 50 pounds. Of course, the whiting fish is a fish that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to eat. In fact, under his leadership, we became the number one importers of fish here in America. And, of course, there's a current fish program now in its initial stages being implemented throughout the nation. But stay away from those shellfish, dear brother. Stay away from the shrimp. Stay away from the crab. Stay away from the lobsters. I hope we're not hurting anyone. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that they were scavengers and we should not eat them at all. And again, eat no fish over 50 pounds.
Over 50 pounds. Thank you so much, brother. Student Minister, I will pass, and not only pass it along, but I will use it with my own food palate as well.
That's good. That's good, brother. May Allah bless you and great health to you, dear brother. You're on the right path, let me say, Brother Eugenio. Stay on that path and get all of the books of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, particularly as they relate to how to eat to live. And perhaps we need to do a segment on this show of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's message and books on how to eat to live.
Yeah, that
thank
was,
you, Brother Eugenio.
That very educational program. You know I'll tune in for that, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you again, dear brother. And let us know.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, moving along, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, these are the minister's words in the last segment of his message to us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his monumental book, How to Eat to Live, Book 1, warns of the danger of commercialized food and the need for us to take the time to properly prepare our own foods. In the chapter entitled Vegetables, in the section Bread on page 6, he writes, "You know as well as I that there is a commercializing interest in those who rule the food industry. They do not worry about the lives they jeopardize so long as the dollar is safe. You might find yourself eating death if you follow them." In the section Prepare Your Own Foods on page 7, he writes, "Take time and prepare your own foods. Do not kill yourself by running to the store buying processed foods to eat. We plan to install health food departments in experimenting with all foods. They do not care what they eat as long as it does not kill them instantly." I'm sorry, I may have read over a line. "Take time," I'll repeat this reading, "take time and prepare your own foods. Do not kill yourselves by running to the store buying processed foods to eat. We plan to install health food departments in our bakeries, grocery stores, and restaurants soon. In fact, the enemy," in parentheses, "is experimenting with all foods. They do not care what they eat as long as it does not kill them instantly." And then he writes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is, "Beware. For good health, we should raise and prepare our own food. As I said in this book, the enemy is a commercializing people by nature. It is the almighty dollar that they are after, not long life. And in the section Food God Suggests, on page 10, he writes, "We must prepare and grow our own food because of this highly commercialized world. They graft a lot of food, and some of this food is not good for our stomachs." I'll stop there, brothers and sisters. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated to us that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "A devil is any live germ grafted out of the original." A devil. This can be applied, of course, to the grafting of the vegetation of the earth, bringing about these new fruits and new vegetables, these transgenic foods that Monsanto as well as DuPont are offering the public through their monopoly of farming. But this can also apply in that definition, any live germ grafted out of the original, it can apply to human beings. As the transgenic or grafted food ultimately dominates and destroys the original and organic, we have to look at how the effect of integration is, or what the effect integration is having on us as we are integrated into a society of grafted people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Lecture Series 27, lecture installment of the Time and What Must Be Done, 27, and also 28, he dealt extensively with the making of the devil. This kind of information that we are sharing from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad should not be received as any kind of racist dogma or racist talk. These are genetic and biological facts that we are disclosing to the public for the purpose of education. Also, to get our people to understand why they are in the condition that we are in. What is the root of our condition? How did we lose the knowledge of self? How did the world get into the hands of a people who apparently are bent on world domination and ultimate destruction of the darker people of the world and the darker people or the people of color in the world? We need to know these things. So if there are any in the listening audience who may be of the broader society of America, we don't want you to think that, you know, we're petty and spending our time trivializing our time and what is said simply because we want to say something insulting to you about you. No, it has nothing to do with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We don't have the time or inclination to do such. However, we must understand the origin of things and how they got to where they are. And so, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that while transgenic or grafted food is disagreeable to live with in peace and ultimately will dominate and destroy the original, so it is that human beings who have been grafted out of the original will ultimately dominate and have dominated and are embarked or have embarked upon an agenda of destruction of the original. These are things and truths that we must take into consideration. And so having said that, I want to go back to our listening and participating audience. Brother Kareem, are there any on the phone or any online, Sister Aziza? Do we have her back?
Yes, sir, we do.
All praises due to Allah. Very good.
Yes, I am back, and I do apologize. My phone mysteriously went on the blank for some reason, but okay, all praises due to Allah, I'm back. I have kind of a question, comment from Brother Brian. He says that if we don't start to farm, we will all... they make all of the food so expensive, and when there are no jobs and minimal money, people have to eat cheap. So he didn't really ask a question, but he made that comment.
Well, Brother Brian is absolutely correct, you know. Even though we've made delicacies out of the food, or that which was offered to us as food during the actual slave sojourn on the plantations, we've made delicacies out of it. Still, it's cheap, and it is unhealthy. In fact, very, very poisonous. And if we don't farm, just as he said, and as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if we don't go back to the land, and produce our own food and then pick seeds, put a portion of what we produce aside to use the seeds that ultimately we can then plant pure seeds, because even the seeds now are contaminated in America and throughout the world, because, again, the focus is money. The focus is money. So Brother Brian is absolutely correct in his statements, and this is exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has stated in the installment 38 of the time and what must be done. So you're absolutely right. You know, that brings to mind when, you know, I was coming up in New York when we used to play the dozens, if you will. We used to hurl that term, farmer, at one another to indicate that the person was out of trend, out of step, or was lame. But in reality, the farmer is the most important person and in the most important profession that we possibly could have. We didn't even appreciate that it was because of the work of the farmer on the farm that we even had enough strength to breathe, to call anyone anything out of our mouth. So, yeah, we got to go back to the land, Brother Brian. Thank you for that comment there, brother.
Yes, sir. And, excuse me, okay, from Sister Deborah, she says, not to get off the subject, but I was once told by a Baptist pastor that black people are the cursed people of Noah's son, Shem?
Shem, yes.
Okay, Brother James.
Okay, that was the question. Well, yes, this is as a result of rabbinical priests, really Zionists, if you will, who are posing themselves off as Jews, or the real Jews. And while Moses gave the children of Israel divine revelation, or the quote-unquote Jews, divine revelation found in the Torah, there's a segment of those Jews that, again, are Zionists, who are not really Jews, but are in fact of the synagogue of Satan, who authored a book or writing called Talmud. And most of those Jews use the Talmud now as their book of guidance and have put the Torah, the true and original revelation to them behind their backs. And in that Talmud, their sister, they wrote this Hermetic theory or Hermetic writing, wherein it depicted black people as being under a curse, to be hewers of wood and drawers of water and servants of other people. That was our destiny. It was called the Hermetic theory, and it was offered by these Zionists, these fake Jews, these false Jews, who are actually Zionists, and as the minister referred to them and as Jesus in the Bible referred to them as members of the synagogue of Satan. But I will hasten to say to you, dear sister, that this is absolutely false, that we are not a cursed people. We are the original people of the earth. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to teach us, that the black man and woman of America and throughout the world, particularly though in America, are of the Aboriginal people, the Asiatic black people. That name coming from this part of the earth, in the dispensation of the separation of the moon and the earth, which is another subject that the minister dealt with previously, and I won't go into it, but at one point in history, this whole earth was called Asia. And as a result of that name, we, who are of this part of the earth, are called the Asiatic people, the original people of the earth. And those who knew that their time would be short in the earth, they crafted this Talmud. They offered this Talmud. They framed this Talmud. And as I said, did away with the original revelation that Moses gave the Jews, and then exhorted the people to follow this writing called Talmud, in which it depicts black people as a cursed people, and it is absolutely false. The minister exposed that. I'm not sure in what installment. However, what I would recommend to my sister is to go back to the archives. Go to NOI.org and go to the archives of the time and what must be done, and access that particular installment when the minister talks about the synagogue of Satan. I think it was earlier on in the lecture series where he clearly exposes the lie of the Hermetic theory. So I'll stop there, sister.
Yes, sir. And Sister Carol says, are you saying that we all need to be vegans? They are poisoning the meats and fast food.
Well, certainly, dear sister, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that really no meat is good for the human being. We are originally vegetation, what did you say it was, vegan? We were originally vegetarian because no meat is really good for the digestive tract, so teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But you have to be exceedingly careful even with the vegetables because they are denatured. Remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that these are transgenic vegetables. They're genetically modified vegetables. And 80% of the nutritive or nutrient value of these vegetables is gone, particularly in the separation of those nutrients and the vegetable, and then put into these capsules or pills called vitamins. It damages the vegetable. So, dear sister, yes, I have to say, for those of us who are meat lovers, and I got to admit that I eat a little meat myself, and if you're going to eat meat, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that eat lamb. You should eat lamb. And, of course, we can eat beef, but lamb, if we're going to eat meat, is the best. And even with chicken, you have to be very careful how the chickens are raised, because the chickens will eat anything, even as the pig will eat anything. So we have to be very, very careful in what we eat, whether we are vegetarians, vegans, or whether we are carnivorous in our diet. All of it is being contaminated by this enemy devil. Thank you for your question.
Yes, sir. And we have a comment from Sister Lavanya. And, okay, let me take a breath. Okay. You know, I'm going to heed, and I always have heeded to the message that Student Minister Akbar just gave us. And I've always said that our purpose is to teach on this broadcast. And so even myself, and, you know, may Allah forgive me, and if I've ever offended anyone, I sometimes get impatient. And but I have to remember that everyone is not familiar with the teachings or as familiar as others. And so we have to yield sometimes to our listening audience. But she poses a very important comment, and I want you, Brother James, to expound on that just for the sake of our people so that they know what time we're actually in. Sister Lavanya says, why are black people prepping for war? Jesus saves. We are starting to put our faith in man. We are turning from God and making ourselves liking to God.
Okay. Sister Aziza, you broke up a little bit on that, and I didn't understand, why are black people pressing for what?
Okay, let me read it again. She says, why are black people prepping for war? Jesus saves. We are starting to put our faith in man, and we are turning from God and making ourselves liking to God.
Well, I must first respond in these words. It is not black people who are pressing for war. It is the warmonger who has ever been pressing for war, the bloodshedder who has been pressing for war. It's not black people who are in the Middle East waging war against the legitimate governments and people of the Middle East. It's not black people who drop bombs on Japan and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's not black people who massacred the Native Americans, and not black people who have a history of warmongering and shedding blood. That's white people. That's the Caucasian. So I don't know why my dear sister would ask the question why we are pressing for war. No, we're not pressing for war at all, although we participated in fighting wars on behalf of white America on every foreign battlefield in our quest to be accepted in an integrated forum or integrated condition here in America. Yet we're not the pressers for war. That's for other people. And in terms of the second part of your question, that we're likening ourselves, instead of turning to God, we're likening ourselves as God. Was that the correct framing of the question, sis?
Yes, sir. She says we are likening ourselves to God. I guess she means we're not, you know, we're acting like we're going to solve the problem, and she's saying that God is going to solve the problem.
Well, let me say this. You know, the Bible teaches us in Psalms that ye are all God's children of the Most High God. And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to teach us, that we are all God's. We are the original people, the Asiatic black men and women, the makers, the owners, the creams of the planet Earth, and the gods and goddesses of the universe. So we are, in fact, gods. Jesus said, or Paul, rather, said of Jesus, having the form, Jesus having the form of God, thought it not robbery to be God. And then he said, let this mind be in you, the same that is in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus said, come follow me, so that where I am, you can be also. He wasn't necessarily referring to a particular place, some locale in the sky, in the sweet by and by, but he was talking about a state of mind that he achieved, the state of existence that he achieved. And that state of mind, that state of existence, was to become one, or was to become one with his Father. When the question was posed to Jesus, Master, when will we see God? The Master replied, according to the scripture, I have been among you all these days, and you have yet to see God. He said, when you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father am one. So it is that oneness that Jesus is guiding us to, calling us to in following him, so that we could be where he is. So we are, in fact, gods. Even as Jesus is a God, we are, as his brothers and sisters, God. Ye are all God's children of the Most High God. Now, in terms of God solving the problem, you have a point, dear sister. God has and is solving the problem. We are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that Allah God appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christians. And his appearance also brought the solution to the problem. What was the problem? It was the suffering of God's chosen people, black people, as it is written in Scripture, in the Genesis. God speaking to Abram, or Abraham, who was then called Abram. You have a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years. Well, how long have we, as black people, been in America? Now, about 435 to 50 years, are we under, and have we been under affliction? We most certainly have. Are we the seeds of Abraham? We most certainly are. And so therefore, in fulfillment of that prophecy, God said he would come. He said, I think I will go down to see if the cry is altogether what I have heard. He's not talking necessarily about coming down from the sky to the earth, or coming down from a heavenly sky, a heavenly place in the sky, to the earth. No, he's not necessarily talking about that, But he's talking about coming down to a lower level of life, that low level of life that we and humanity have been and are living on. And it's not talking about some historical event of 4,000 years ago. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught and teaches us that the Bible is 75 to 80% prophetic and only about 25 to 20% historic or historical. And so when it talks about a people being in bondage for 400 years, it's not talking about the so-called Jews 4,000 years ago under the leadership of a 4,000-year-old Moses, where Moses was a prototype of the modern Moses. And we believe that that modern Moses was and is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the children of Israel have been inarguably proven to be not the imposter Ashkenazi or white European transplanted Jews, but are in actuality the black man and woman of America. And so we are they who are of the fulfillment of that prophecy given to Abraham. We are they who have been in bondage for over 400 years in a strange land here in America. We are they to whom God would come and deliver us out of this bondage after our period of servitude. And again, we believe that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was raised up from our midst, that long-awaited Jesus, the one whom the world has been expecting for the past 2,000 years. We know that very few expected it to be a black man from among the former slaves. But the revelation describes him, gives him some physical description. His hair was like lamb's wool. That's not talking about the popularized image, white image of Jesus. His hair was like lamb's wool, and his feet was like bronze burned in an oven. Bronze is already brown. When you burn it, it's black. So it's talking about black people. It's talking about black people. And so God has come to give us the solution. But the scripture says the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness perceived it not. And the scripture also says he came to his own, and his own received him not. Couldn't be talking about Jews. When have Jews ever rejected each other? No, it's talking about a black man raised up from among the former slaves, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He came, and from the mouth of God was taught the solution to the problem. Go to the back page, dear questioner, dear sister. Go to the back page of the Final Call, formerly called the Muhammad Speaks, wherein is listed what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. Read those points. And therein is the solution that God brought to solve our problem. So you're right. God will solve the problem. In fact, he has offered the solution to the problem. And now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is repeating that solution. So go to every week, tune into the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, 6 o'clock Central Time and 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's at NOI.org. Once again, that's NOI.org. Tune in tomorrow And if you're in the central time area, 6 o'clock. And if you're in the eastern time area, 7 o'clock. But whatever area you're in, tune in and hear the solution being delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you for your question.
Okay, yes, sir. And we have a question from Sister Amina. Sister Amina says that are hormones the reason why girls are developing so fast, yet the boys are small? When I was in junior high school, most boys were nearly 6 feet tall. Now they are barely 5'8 or 5'9. Is this a side effect?
Well, you're absolutely right, dear sister. It is a side effect of the genetically modified foods. In terms of the woman, there is estrogen added to and inserted in these genetically modified foods, both in the meat and also in the vegetables. Cows are given these injections to make them mature faster and grow bigger. This is the reason why you'll find that 9 years old, even as early as 8 or 7, our young girls are having their menses, and by the time they're 12 years old, then they're formed more pronounced, if you will, than their mother. They have bigger breasts and bigger other areas. And this is as a result of the genetically modified food. However, when you're talking about the men, now I don't know if I necessarily agree that the men are smaller. You know, as I look at my male children, they're growing much larger than I am, and these young brothers are growing very tall at a very, very, very early age. They're drafting our brothers from high school because they've grown so tall at 16 and 17, drafting them into the NBA and the NFL because they're growing so quickly physically. And this is as a result of the genetically modified foods. You know, we're a fast food country now, where our young people are eating the hamburgers and French fries and highly processed and hastily prepared chicken patties or what have you. And these are possessed of these genetically modified organisms. And these chemicals that are injected in the cows and in the chickens that accelerates the growth of these animals, and by extension accelerates the growth of those of us, particularly our young people who dine on them. So stay away from McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's and the like. Stay away from fast food. Their objective and their agenda is money, not the health of the human being. So you're absolutely right there, sister. It is a side effect. But when you say side effect, that means that's a happenstance, if you will, or a consequence, and not necessarily the objective. It's not really a side effect. It is the effect that they are intending to achieve with our people and with humanity. So, but you're absolutely right there, sister. It is as a result of these genetically modified foods.
Yes, sir.
Can I just read this in that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes regarding or has stated in the last installment regarding genetically modified organisms and the negative health effects of chemical and processed food? He writes or states, let's look at the negative health effects of chemical and processed foods. The negative effects on the health of black people are nothing short of devastating, and it could also be considered genocidal. Blacks and cancer. According to a 2013 National Cancer Institute report, we are given a view of the health condition of black people, where it shows black men in America lead all American men in the following cancers: colon and rectal, esophagus, kidney and renal, pelvis, liver, lung and bronchus, oral cavity and pharynx, pancreas, prostate and stomach. The report also shows that black women lead all American women in the following cancers: cervical, colon, and rectal, kidney, liver, lung, and bronchus, pancreas, and stomach, except that white women have a higher incidence of breast cancer. However, black women get breast cancer at a younger age, and it is more aggressive, and black women suffer a higher rate of fatality. So, yes, dear sister, again, that punctuates the rightness of your thinking and your statement regarding the effects of these chemicalized foods. Thank you for your question.
Yes, sir. And I just want to state, if you don't mind, Brother James, you know, it is so critical at this point that we get back to cooking our own food. We are so on a schedule of convenience now that we do not take the time to prepare good home cooked meals for our families. You know, we're working, we're going to school, we're doing whatever we're doing, and at the same time, we are killing our families. And so it hasn't been that long ago for me that I had a family that I had to bustle around, and I had, you know, very a restrictive schedule. But I just want to offer tips to the parents, not just the mothers, but the fathers. You know, cook good, wholesome meals, but if you cook in large quantities and freeze the food, you don't have to come home and prepare a full meal every day. You just go home and warm it up. And I'm not talking about via microwave, but it's nothing to put food in the oven or put it in a pot or whatever you have to do to heat that food. But it's food that you yourself has prepared. It has the main ingredient that causes us all to survive, and that's love. And you know who has handled your food. You know that your food is clean. You know that you are giving your children something that is vitally nutritious for them, and that is very critical, especially at this time. Student Minister James mentioned some of the changes, the hormonal changes that young women go through, but also young men are more affected in their psyche. Now, this is not, of course, by accident, because we know that the enemy fears any kind of empowerment of the black man. And if a black man gets in position of power, if he gets to the position where he's able to think clearly and plan the way that Allah has structured him to plan, then they know that their society, their way of life is going to be highly threatened. So even though it has a hormonal effect for the women, it has a mental effect on the man, especially in high doses of protein and sugars. So
that's right.
We want to make sure that our young men get a balanced meal of vegetables, that they stay away from red meat, that they stay away from things like soda and candy and just all unnatural foods, because all of this is done by design. It's not just the way of the time. You know, I've never known anyone to win a popularity contest because they eat the most fast food. That is ridiculous. We are marketed to in a way to make fast food seem attractive, or they lie to you even in their menus and say that this has less calories, it has less saturated fat, it has this, it has that. Well, they will tell you anything to get your money.
That's
but
right.
Your money is not going to help you when someone has to be looking down on you in your coffin. So that is not healthy for you or your family. So I want to encourage our parents, because we have fathers and mothers who are caring for children, to, you know, cook your meals at home. That is a good time to enjoy your family. That's a good time to sit down at the table, have a family dinner, have a conversation, know what's going on with your children, know what they're eating outside of your home. And it's a good time to teach them lessons and the values of food. And also another thing I want to touch on, Brother James, and I promise I'm not going to take up too much time, but you know, the minister is talking about land, but also, you know, when we talk about farming and agriculture, you know, you can start in your backyard. You can start on your patio, and I'm proud to announce that I planted some cucumbers and tomatoes, so we're going to see if I have a green thumb or a purple one. I don't know. But we have to start learning how to harvest the land and how to use the land for our benefit, because the government, so-called government shutdown, it is not even really a shutdown. It's just a warning of what is to come. And it's a warning for us to be prepared, because I promise you, if the government really shuts down, it's going to be just like the crash of 1929. You're going to see white folks jumping out the window, going crazy. We have to be a prepared people to survive. And so it's going to show all who are so dependent on our government. And we cannot be dependent on our government, but we can be interdependent on one another. Come together and let's take care of ourselves. Let's take care of our families. It is vitally important. And one more thing about this, I promise to shut up. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'll swore to wear pink all month. I'm trying. But please, brothers and sisters, brothers too, Breast cancer is on the rise with men. Most of that is due to food. You would very rarely, if ever, hear of breast cancer occurring in men. However, in the last 30 years, it has become more prevalent. Please get your mammograms. They have free clinics. They have mobile clinics even in some areas where you can get your mammogram, get your examination. This is beatable and treatable if you get early detection, and I just wanted to say that. Thank you for allowing me that time, Brother James.
And thank you, Queen Aziza, for your information and your statements. And never should you apologize for offering us that vital information, dear sister. We love to hear from you. It's always very relevant and very, very educational. I'd like to close out in the remaining minutes of the show with the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from last week's installment of The Time and What Must Be Done. He writes, or states, "The wise industrialists and those in the medical profession should certainly know how valuable this animal is," referencing the cow, "and its many advantages. The level of economic activity and technology generated by the cow is staggering. from its milk, hides, blood, brain, intestines, hooves, fat, pancreas, ovaries, bones, and even manure. Hundreds of products are produced. So if there is that kind of value in the cow, shouldn't we treat it as a gift from God? We must feed it properly in order for the milk from it to be a pure drink, agreeable to the drinker. But if we have fed it poison, now you have to boil it, and all of the value of it comes out in the boiling. And then to give it back to the people denurtured, when the God of nature made the cow to give us pure drink. If we just took care of the cow and fed the cow like we respected it for what it is, a gift from the beneficent God, we would be blessed by God and blessed by that cow. Everything he gave us, he gave it to us to be its master. He gave it to us as a gift to learn its value, because in it is a lesson for us. At my disjointed reading, I'm reading from my phone as my computer is on the fritz. He continues to state, understanding the biblical term heifer when applied to the woman and her extreme value. I want my sisters to listen who hurl that term at each other in an insulting way. It's really a compliment. So in closing, in the Bible, the book of Judges, chapter 14, verse 18, Samson referred to his woman as a heifer. When he said this, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have learned the secret of my riddle. What is a heifer? According to the dictionary, a heifer is a young female cow that has not yet given birth. So here, Samson is likening a woman to this marvelous gift of God. And all the things that you can find in a cow that makes a cow so valuable. Oh, you can find so much in our females. The Prophet Muhammad said, heaven lies at the foot of mother. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the only heaven for a man is found in a woman. Just as we must learn to love the gift of the cow, we must learn to love the gift of the female, because she is our earth. She produces so much good for us if she is treated properly, if she is handled properly, and if she is taught and guided properly. That is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad set up a marvelous class for women, the Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization class, that is NGT and GCC, where they are taught the basics of how to be that good woman that is a good mother of her children, knowing not only how to rear her children, but also how to keep house, how to take care of her husband, how to sew and cook, how to act at home and abroad, and be our first teacher and our first nurse. And he gave us instructions as he closed out that installment. He stated, so I would like all the sisters in the MGT and GCC to open up your class on Saturday and go out and invite our sisters. And let's open up the FOI class, that is the Fruit of Islam, the name given to the military training of the men who belong to Islam in America. That's the military and spiritual training of the men that belong to Islam in America. That class on Monday, and invite our men to these classes, because these classes will make us the type of man and the type of woman that will make us all deeply, or make us fall rather deeply in love with each other. And I'll close on those words and on those instructions from our beloved Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have reached the end of our show. I want to thank all of you so much for your participation. Once again, I want to thank our beloved Student International Minister and Representative of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, for the time he shared with us. And tune in next week for part two of his message to us from the international perspective of the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so, dear Sister and Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, I want to turn it over to you to make your announcements. And I want to say, as I always love to do at the end of the show, I want to thank you, dear sister, for this wonderful and magnificent forum you have provided us to share with our people and to all who would tune in the message and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Sister Aziza.
Oh, brother. The honor is all mine, Brother James. You already know that. You are a gift to us from Allah. So we thank Allah. We thank the messenger. We thank the minister, because you are definitely a product. You are a fruit from that mighty tree. And so it is always a blessing, dear brother, to hear from you and your expertise in the studies of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, brother, we thank you. And, you, of course, you are a diamond of a representative of the ministry class, headed by our leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we thank you and we appreciate you. And I do so apologize for the technical difficulties, you know, and I'm getting to the point where I'm tired of saying that. So we may end up doing something very different really, really soon, because we shouldn't have to go through this. But I want to thank you again, Brother Kareem, for coming in at the last minute. I want to apologize to my Google chat room. I know they are listening, but I could not get back on. I tried. I will get your questions. So please email all of your questions to NBM Radio. That's N as in Nancy, B as in boy, M as in Mary, for Nation Building Movement, nbmradio@gmail.com. And of course, tomorrow we'll be blessed with Brother Ronnie X and Sister Yatira Muhammad. They will be back to host Young Gifted and Black at 8 p.m. Central on Sunday. Tune in to Brother Vernon's show. He is doing a remarkable series on trade and commerce. That's Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central. And on Monday, since we do have Brother Kareem here, Brother Kareem, I'm going to impose on you to expound just a little bit on the show Conscious Black Nation Monday at 8 p.m. I know is am I my brother's keeper, so can you give us a little sneak peek of details?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Well, as always, in the name of Allah, the Merciful. Yes, our topic this Monday is, Am I my brother's keeper? And the topic is taken, of course, from the Bible passage where the question is asked. But more in detail, what we want to do is in answering that, find out, well, number one, what do we mean by my brother's keeper? When we say my brother's keeper, we're not just talking about the male. We're also talking about the female. We're also talking about the woman. What is it that we should be doing as a people to ensure our survival and our rise, our very lives coming into the new world, which is coming in fast? Because if you're watching, This old world is dying a natural death. The only thing that's holding this course up is us. So we really need to know what we need to be doing to move forward, as opposed to that attitude of, well, you got yours, and I mean, I got mine, so you get yours, or I'm going to wait and see. So that's really what we're dealing with.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Yes, all praises to Allah. And of course, Brother Jihad will be back on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central. We're out on the front line with the Fruit of Islam. On Wednesday, join us at 7 p.m. Central for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. And of course, next Thursday, yours truly, I'll be back with a new topic, Before You Say I Do. And we're going to be talking about premarital financial planning. So I don't want anybody to think it's anything spooky. It's premarital financial planning. And, of course, next Friday, inshallah, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad with our live study group at 8 p.m. Central, put on the new man. And if I'm not mistaken, Student Minister James, you said that it's a possibility that Student International Minister, Abdul Akbar Muhammad will be back with us.
Yes, ma'am. By the grace of Allah, he did confirm. In fact, he confirmed over these airwaves, so we look forward to part two of his message to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, inshallah, by tomorrow, we will have all these technical kinks worked out, and I want to thank the listening audience. I want to thank Brother Eugenio and Brother Leon, Brother Eric, Brother Eddie, Sister Nilani, Sister Amina, Sister Carolyn. excuse me. I got a new brother who's faithfully listening. His name is Phase 2. Phase 2 sent me a message, says that he has been listening to our broadcast for 7 months, and he is in love with Nation Building Movement. So all praises to our brother Phase 2. Thank you so much. And I just want to say again, I'm not trying to get mushy, I really, really appreciate the listening audience, because you all have hung in with us, technical difficulties or not. And I just want to thank you for always being right here. So may Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
As-salamu alaykum and good night.